We resume our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have a Bible, open with me. We're almost finished. As we begin this morning's message, I'd like to put to you what some have considered the oldest riddle in history. And if you know the answer, don't speak it out until I'm finished. It's called the Riddle of the Sphinx, and it's this. What creature walks on four legs in the morning, two legs throughout the day, and then three legs in the evening? And the answer is a man. He crawls when he's a baby. He walks on two legs most of his life, and then when he's an old man, he needs a cane to walk. The riddle of the Sphinx. Someone has said that the 30s of a person's life is the peak of his life, and that was the age Jesus chose to die, at age 33. Maybe you've heard it put like this, going through the stages of life. The 30s might be the peak of life. The 40s is the old age of youth, and the 50s is the youth of old age. There's some truth in that. I also heard this old saying, if a man is not strong at 20, handsome at 30, or rich at 40, he will never be strong, handsome, or rich, and I never was. Life tends to speed up. We all start as little children. And as a child, a day seems like forever, but then as you get older, you say, you know, time seems to pass quicker and quicker. And then when we're on the other half of life, we say, it seemed like just yesterday. It was Christmas or such and such. Life speeds up. It snowballs. Young people often wish that they were older. Teenagers who are in that phase where they want to be treated like an adult. Teenagers will say this, and of course we that are older used to say this, don't treat me like a child, I want to be treated like an adult. But they're not an adult yet, they're becoming one. A few years ago, Halloween, some kids were knocking on the door, and there were two girls that were not little children anymore, but I could tell that they were becoming teenagers, and they still wanted to enjoy trick-or-treat, but they were a little embarrassed to still be doing it. They were going through a new phase of life. On the other hand, just like youngsters wish that they were adults, old people often wish that they were young again. Have you ever wondered, what age would you choose if God said, you can always live at that age? Would it be 10 years old? How about 21, 35? What age would you choose to be for the rest of your life? Today we look at these very sobering verses in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, and then we'll concentrate on God's words of wisdom on this subject, the importance of knowing God when you're young. So let's begin with verse 9, where Solomon says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, and so forth. Old Solomon is very elderly, and I was giving good advice to the young. Remember, he was the second wisest man that's ever lived. And it's like a grandfather giving advice to his little grandchildren and saying, I won't be with you much longer. Let me share with you some advice from a whole lifetime of experience. We should learn from the elderly. So what does he say? It's a little surprising. He says, rejoice in your youth. Now, he's not saying, live it up while you can, kid. What he is saying is, enjoy the strength and the vigor that you have. Enjoy things that you can enjoy in your youth. Most pastimes, for example, are okay, like sports, music, art. Nothing's wrong with those. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, God has given us all things to enjoy in the right way. And Solomon is saying that to the young people. Enjoy life while you're young, because you're not going to be young forever. But then notice Solomon gives three cautions that kind of balance this. First, he says, you will have to give an account to God one day. He says, know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Youngsters, remember, you will not always be young. One day, you will have to face God sooner or later, and you'll have to give an account. Secondly, Solomon says, put away evil from your flesh. That means repent of your sins. You may be young, but you're still a young sinner, and you know that you have sinned. God knows it, so learn how to repent young in life. You know, some people go through their whole life and they've never even learned how to repent. They don't even know the meaning of the word. You young people, learn to repent early in life, to be sorry for your sins and not only apologize to your parents, but to God and turn from your sins. That's what Solomon says here. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts and don't do anything that you will later regret. You see, certain sins seem very appealing when you're young, but later on, you will be sorry you did those. Every adult here can say, I did things when I was young I wish I had never done. A lie I told, something that I stole, I cheated in sports once, and we wish we had never done that. So think twice. Don't do anything that you will later regret of. Thirdly, Solomon says here, childhood and youth are vanity. Youth is temporary and fleeting. You will grow up before you know it. Oh, every day now might seem like a long time, but it will begin to speed up. Before you know it, you'll be a teenager, you'll be a young adult, you'll be middle-aged, you'll be surprised how often times pass. Parents, enjoy your children while they're young. Those little babies are going to grow up before you know it. That little one that Cody's holding right now, she'll be walking and talking and running and playing games before you know it. You parents know that. You say, it seemed like just yesterday she was coming in with a scraped knee crying and I had to wipe away her tears. And now she's a young girl. She's a young lady. When I was a child, there was a famous folk song called Turn Around. And it was very sad because he says, turn around. She's just a little girl. Turn around. Now she's an adolescent. Turn around. And now she's a young lady getting married. And turn around. She's having children of her own. Where did all the time go? Enjoy life, but remember that you won't be young forever. And enjoy life while you can, but know God early in life. That's the key that Solomon is sharing with us here. Then he opens up in chapter 12, verse 1. In addition to rejoice, O young person, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. What he is saying is remember God. God has given us that ability to remember things. And curiously, the older we get, the more we have things to remember. And then sometimes we forget them. But God is saying, in all your remembering, remember Him. Never, ever forget God. Oh, when we sin, we want to forget God and say, God, just leave me alone. Don't forget God. God is watching. And in your youth, remember God. Come to know God. Believe in God. And don't ignore Him or run from Him. And then in the next few verses, what Solomon is doing is very serious. He is describing the latter stages of life as he is addressing the young people. It's as if he is saying, I was once young like you, and you will one day be old like me. You youngsters, and youngsters means anybody that's very young, let's say under 20, under 10, you will not be that age forever. You are going to grow up. You go through different grades in school, for example. And if you notice you outgrow your clothes, and you say, well, you know, I used to love those blue jeans, and now they're too small for me. It's because you are growing, and you are growing up as well. And one day you will be an adult. You will be getting married. You'll become a middle-aged man, a middle-aged woman. And you will also grow old one day. And us that are over 50 and over 60, We know what that's like. So Solomon is sharing this. He says, remember your Creator before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And so in the next few verses, he is describing what it's like to be old. And he is saying, come to know God when you're young, because one day you will be old like me and it'll be hard to follow God. He says the difficult days. You see, when you're young, you're somewhat carefree because so much of the responsibility for you is on your parents' shoulder, not you. They're the ones that go to work to buy you food and clothing and toys. They're the ones that have to pay the taxes and fill out the government forms and do a lot of worrying for you. And I can see you parents say, yes, when I was a child, I didn't have to worry about those things. But when I became an adult, I said, I didn't realize there was so much responsibility. You children have somewhat carefree lives like this. And Solomon is saying, but one day, it won't be like that. For example, right now you're in the time of life when you love to run. Sometimes I like to see children at the end of this service, they got so much pent-up energy, they hit that door, grab the cookies, and they ran out there in the parking lot, and they just run, and I look out the window and see kids running by over here. They got so much energy. They run. They can run as easily as they can walk. That's not the case with some of us. For some of us, our running days are over. And then for some of us, even our walking days will be over. So enjoy that vim and vigor that you have now when you're young. You won't be that strong one day. You'll stop running. And Solomon says you'll have no pleasure in life. Many elderly people lose interest in things that used to bring them a lot of pleasure. And they'll say, you know, once I used to love to run and jump. I used to play on the high school football team. But that's just a long ago memory for them now. And I've noticed this when I go to the nursing home every week. Some of them reminisce and say, I wish I was young again. I could play hide and seek and kick the can. But I haven't done that in a long time. And very little brings them any pleasure anymore. They sit there and just watch television, game shows, and soap operas. And some of them rarely smile. They don't take pleasure in things anymore, like little kids who take pleasure in almost anything and wonderful to learn new things. But it's not going to be like that any one day. Or current events sometimes really attract people like in middle age. They watch the news and follow the issues and what's going on in the debates. But one day, that just doesn't interest them anymore. I remember visiting with an elderly man who used to love to watch the news, read Time magazine, and follow the issues. And he followed sports. Every day he'd follow all these sports. And I remember visiting with him. I said, hey, did you hear about this new record that was broken? And they never thought it would be broken. What'd you think about that? And he just looked at me and said, it doesn't matter anymore. A few years ago, he would have said, wow, how about that? Think it'll ever be broken? How'd he do that? He didn't take pleasure in sports or politics anymore. His world had shrunk to just the little world, that one room that he lived in. And most of his belongings were in a little table next to his bed. Young people, that will be you one day. Come to know God when you're young. It's a lot easier when you're young than when you're old. Verse 2, Solomon then begins to describe from his own experience what it's like. He says, the time will come when the sun and the light and the moons and the stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after the rain. And then he speaks somewhat poetically. He's remembering that youth are in the morning of life, and now he's in the nighttime of life, past twilight. And he speaks very beautifully using Hebrew metaphors that might sound strange to us, but let me explain what some of these are. Verse 3 says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. What in the world is he talking about? What he is saying is, your legs are weak. And they're trembling. And I see that every week at the nursing home. And they're just kind of trudging along down the hallway. They're not as strong as they used to be. And also the shaking of the hands. And it says that they bow down. If you notice, elderly people, they're not as strong and as upright and robust as they used to be. They just tend to slouch more and more, and I've seen people slouching even at a 90-degree angle. It's all they can do to stand up. Solomon was probably like that. And it also says here, the grinders, your teeth. Now, in Solomon's day, they didn't have dentists or dentures, but we have both today. But young people, listen to your parents when they say, brush your teeth every day and go to the dentist twice a year. And then you look at older people and they're wearing dentures or they're missing a tooth here and there. That's part of life. The grinders are fewer and fewer. Then he says, looking through the windows. You know what that is? Eyesight. I've been wearing glasses for over 50 years and I need to get bifocals and trifocals. And some people, they lose their eyesight. We have several people at the nursing home that they don't sing because they say, Pastor, I can't even see anymore. That's what it's like. It's hard to see when you're older. Eyesight gets weaker and you get stronger and stronger glasses. Verse 4, it says, the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. Doors in the being shut could mean a reference to fear of people breaking in. So you lock the doors and double lock them. The sound is low. And then it goes on to say that you're woken up by even the chirping of a little bird in the morning. And that didn't happen when you were younger. This is describing the loss of hearing, and thank God for acoustic specialists and hearing aids. I remember when my mother, and some of you remember her, she got hearing aids in both ears and had to adjust them because it made that little whistling sound. And she would say, you know, Kurt, I can hear you, but I can't hear my niece. She has a different pitch. And she says, I can hear the birds, but I can't hear the thunder. And I said, well, you know, Mom, I thank God for your hearing aids. And you know what the Bible says? Let her that has hearing aids, let her hear. And she'd laugh about that. But as we get older, our hearing gets affected. And we say, would you please repeat that again? I can't hear you. Verse 5, he says, they're afraid of the height. Now, we know what that's like. Afraid of falling. Doctors will say to all their patients that are over 50, take steps that you do not fall. Your bones are not as strong. Your sense of balance isn't perfect. And if you fall, you could break a bone. That's what happened to Bernadine Porter yesterday morning at 8:30. She fell down and broke her hip. Now, years ago, she would have just had a bruise. Now she had surgery this morning because she fell. Solomon says the doors are shut in the streets, the sound of the grinding. One rises, the sound of a bird. And it says also, terrors in the way. You're afraid of unexpected danger, such as being attacked. Then he says something interesting. He says, when the almond tree blossoms. What's that? You ever see a blossoming almond tree? It looks like it's covered in snow. Because the little almonds are just bright all over. What he's talking about here is people that, if they don't lose their hair, it begins to change and become gray and even white like an almond tree. And I've seen people, it looks like they've been out in the snow. It's as white as snow, and other ones, it's in the process of changing. Heard about an older couple that's sitting on a park bench, and the man was doing like this and saying, well, honey, I guess you can call me the Silver Fox. And she said, you know, Silver Fox, you're just no gray wolf. But they realized they were not young anymore, and they had a little bit of snow on the roof, I guess you would say. And some of us don't even have the snow. Grass doesn't grow on a busy street. That may be you one day. Things change. And Solomon is saying, these are not days you look forward to, even though you're getting closer to heaven. He says the almond tree blossoms. Then he says the grasshopper is a burden. Have you ever seen an old grasshopper? Oh, when it was young, it could just jump. And you say, how in the world did that little thing jump 5 feet? Have you ever seen an old one? When you're sitting in a lawn chair in your garden, you see this grasshopper just trudging along, going back to where he's got some food. And that's what it's like to be old. You can't jump and run and have all that vim and vigor. It's just everything you can do to be like an old grasshopper going to your bedroom at night. And he says, desire fails. No more ambition anymore. Few plans. Things that used to bring you pleasure don't anymore. And you often spend your time simply reminiscing about the good old days. And then Solomon gets very serious talking about this end of life here. He says, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. You see, we live in this body only temporarily. It's like we're living in an apartment until the house is finished, and then when the house is finished, we leave the apartment. One day we're going to leave this house. The Bible describes our body as a house in which our soul lives. I'm going to pick up on this next week about what happens when we leave it, but Solomon's saying, he says, a man goes to his eternal home. This is not our eternal home, this world or this body. We're only in it temporarily. We will have to live it. Have you ever seen a house that's ramshackle and it's been condemned and it's going to be torn down? That condemnation sign will be put on every one of us. This building will be condemned and torn down one day. There's a television show, I think it's still on, talking about how to repair houses, and it's called This Old House. Some of us are old enough to remember that was the title of a Christian song many, many years ago. And it's talking about this old house, you know, it's leaking and it's going to need a new door and someone's peeking through the window pane. It doesn't matter, I'm getting a new house one day. That was an old gospel song. This old house we have is getting older and weaker. But praise God, if we're Christians, we're going to get a new house one day. And that will go on forever. But notice he says you go to your eternal home. That will either be heaven or hell. Not everybody talking about heaven's going there. Oh, everybody wishes they could go there. I've met very few people that think that they're going there. Oh, a few people boast and say, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell, that's my home, but no. What Solomon is saying here is we all have an eternal destiny, not just after we grow old, but after we die. He has been absolutely honest with the young people. And there's applications here for us that are no longer anymore. Get ready for your eternal destiny. So he says, you go to your eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. You know, in olden days, parents used to take children to funerals, and then they would go home, they'd sit the children down and say, now, let's explain what we just saw. We went to grandmama's funeral. We won't be talking to grandmama anymore. And the little child will say, well, where's grandpa? Where's papa? Papa's going to be with God. You parents, sit down with your children after a funeral and explain to them the issues of life and of death, and life after death. Do you remember the very first funeral you attended? One day, there will be a funeral for you too. Parents, say that to your children. This is what Solomon is saying to the children there, and what I'm saying to you. There will be a funeral for you one day. That's hard for us to accept. To realize we too are going to die and someday they're going to bury me. What's going to happen is you'll die, maybe at home or hospital or the nursing home. And they'll take your body to the funeral home there and two men will lift it up and put it into a coffin. Of course, they'll take care of it in a certain way. They'll close the lid. They'll schedule the funeral with the family. This is what happens at funeral homes. As a pastor, I often help out with the funeral arrangements. And then the family shows up and they're weeping. And they have pictures on a board and they tell stories. And then maybe they say something funny and they all laugh to let off the tension. And here come the tears again. And then at the end of the service, people often walk by a casket. Sometimes it's opened and they kiss the body or they say, goodbye, Mama. I'll see you in the morning. I've seen all sorts of things. And then they go to the graveside service. Preacher says a few words. And then they leave it there, and then everybody goes back to their car. I've often seen men holding their wives, wiping away the tears, comforting the children. Many of us have done that. And they all go back to their cars. It says here, they go about the streets. Everybody leaves, except one. The person whose body is in the coffin. His soul has already left and has gone to his eternal home. But then people go back home, maybe to have a meal together and reminisce. back at the gravesite, the grave diggers will lower the coffin and they'll shovel the dirt on there. They've got the gravestone ready. After a while, the dirt will have grass growing on it. But the soul is already left. Brethren, these are the issues of life and death. We'd be very wise to think about it and to prepare for it early in life. That's why Solomon says, remember your Creator early in life. Get to know God early as you can. Get ready to meet God as soon as possible. He is wisest who prepares earliest and delays it no more. Fools delay it or they deny it. They say, I'm going to enjoy life while I can. And oh, when I'm old, then I'll turn to God. That's the wisdom of a fool. Get right with God young. I heard a parable many years ago put like this. Once upon a time, there was a king that had a big empire. And he had all these musicians and artists. And clowns would come and perform before him. And he had his favorite little clown he called the Fool. Because this was a little man, a little midget that would, you know, do somersaults and act silly. And, you know, he'd trip. And you know how clowns are. And the king would laugh, oh, my friend, the Fool, you are the most foolish person in my whole kingdom. And so he says, come here, little man, sit on my lap. He says, you're the biggest fool there is. You're just so dumb. I tell you what, and he reached down and gave him a certain little wand, kind of like a little famous stick. And he says, now I'm going to give this to you. Now, you go throughout all my kingdom, and if you ever find someone that's a bigger fool than you, you give this to him. So he says, yes, your majesty. And off the little fool went, and for weeks on end, he'd go out there, and he'd see people do something that was stupid. He says, yeah, but I'm a bigger fool than that. I would have done the same thing. And he never found anybody that was a bigger fool than him. Then one day, the little man heard the sad news that the king was very, very sick. So he says, I need to go and cheer him up. So he comes to the palace, and there's the king in bed, very sick. And the little man had overheard the doctor saying he's not going to pull through it. So he goes up to the king. He says, oh, king, they say you may be leaving us. Where are you going? And the king says, I don't know. Well, your majesty, are you ready for this trip? No, I'm not. Will you be coming back? No, I'm not. So the little man got out the wand and gave it to the king. He says, king, you're the biggest fool. If you're going on a trip and you're not ready and you're not coming back, you're a fool. And he's right. If we know we're going to die and we won't be coming back again from the funeral, we better get ready. And if we're not, we're fools. Bible tells us a story in Luke chapter 12, a parable Jesus told about a man that said, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to live it up. I'm wealthy. And it says that very night God came to him and said, you fool, this night your soul will be demanded of you. We'd be wise to get ready to meet God. And you young people would be very wise to come to know God when you're young. It would be foolish to say, I'll do it later. I want to live it up first. Let me give some practical wisdom from these verses for you that are young. First, realize you won't stay young forever. You know, it was a little over 100 years ago that an English writer wrote a little story that's still being told today. They've made movies and cartoons about a little boy that didn't want to grow up. He came to a certain age and said, I never want to grow up, and he got his wish. And the little boy's name was Peter Pan. The little boy that never grew up, and the other children, like Wendy, did grow up. You will not be Peter Pan. You too will grow up like your parents. Look at the adults around you. Look at your parents. It's hard for children to realize it, but we were once your age. Have you ever sat down with your parents and say, Mama, what were you like when you were my age? And ask her to show you some pictures. Ask your dad to say, what games did he play? What jokes did he play on people? What sports did he like when he was your exact age? It's fun to talk to them like that, but realize your parents were once your age, and you will one day be our age. We were like you. You will be like us one day. For example, some of you may not believe it, but I was once a little boy like Joel over here, or like Benny, or it's like the rest of you kids. I was once like that. I was once a teenager, and when I left school, not only that, I had hair. I had long hair down to there. I was an old-fashioned hippie. Some of y'all say, oh, not Pastor Daniel. I was once young like that, and I used to do things that youngsters would do. But we've all changed. We've grown up, and we've grown older. Have you ever imagined, youngsters, have you ever imagined what you will be like when you're an adult? You know, I like to ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a cowboy. I want to be president. I want to be an astronaut. Well, that's good. Aim high. But also be realistic. What do you want to be like? Not just when you're grown up, but have you ever tried to imagine yourself as an old man or an old woman? Unless you die before, then that will be the case with you. You will grow old one day. Look at the very old. That will be you one day. Most young people ignore that, or they try to deny it. Go through life in the fast lane and get out while you can when you're still young. When I was young, this was over 50 years ago, there was a pop song called My Generation, and the group called The Who kept singing, "Hope I Die Before I Get Old." Well, one of them died in his 20s of a drug overdose. The bass player died a few years ago, but the lead singer and the lead guitarist are now well over 70. They never dreamed it back then. It's hard when you're young to dream getting old, and it's also hard to imagine that we will all one day die and have to face God. That's why Solomon is so honest with us here. And that's why I am with you as well. What plans have you made for not just what do you want to do when you grow up, get married, have kids, maybe join the army or go to college or be a farmer, whatever. Make plans beyond that. Of course, a lot of people go through life and they don't plan for retirement. That's foolish. But the biggest fool is like in the parable of the man that knows he's going to go on a trip and he doesn't prepare. One day we're going to have to face God. Prepare to die one day. So that's why Solomon says, become a Christian early in life, not later. Now, pastors know a certain secret because we do research and studies. Did you know most people that become Christians, and I mean real Christians, most of them do it between the ages of 17 and 25. Did you know that? Because those are the years when a young person is becoming an adult and making the biggest decisions of his life. Who to marry, where to live, what kind of work to do, what party to vote for, things like these. He makes the biggest decisions. That's the key years for a person to say, that's when I want to start following God. I want to become a real Christian. You see, earlier on, they may have sung the Sunday school songs and done the puzzles, you know, and Bible games and all that. But then they begin to wonder, do I really believe that? Or just because mom and dad told me that? But when they're becoming an adult, they say, I want to make sure if I really believe this or not. And sadly, some people from Christian families forsake it all. They become prodigal sons and daughters. They turn their back on God and their families, and they jump into the world with gusto. Please don't. Remember what your parents have taught you, especially when you go through those years when you make the biggest decisions of your life. And then after that, you go progressively through other stages, and it becomes progressively harder to believe the gospel. You say, wouldn't it be easier when you know you're old and you're going to be facing God? No, no, no. It's easier when you're young than when you're old, because an old person will say, it's too late. Remember Jesus speaking with Nicodemus, and he says, how can a man that is old be born again? It's as if he's saying, it's too late for me. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And they've gotten so accustomed to their life of sin, it's hard for them to even contemplate changing, and they're not as spiritually alert anymore. You don't believe me? Come with me to the nursing home every week. Come with Linda. She's there twice a week. It's hard to get a spiritual response from some of the elderly. You plead with them. You tell them about the love of Christ, and sometimes they just look at you like, it's too late. Once upon a time I may have been interested, but not now. That's why I again say, come to know God early in life when your heart is very tender, your conscience is very fresh, your mind is learning so much. That's the time to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Humanly speaking, it's easier to believe in Christ when you're young. You've got a more tender conscience. For example, you'll do some new sin and you automatically feel ashamed of it. But later in life, you do that sin over and over again, you've tuned out your conscience. Listen to your conscience. That's God's way of saying you've done something wrong. You've sinned. But old unbelievers are just old sinners, and they're well set in their sinful ways. And the older we get in our sin, the harder it is for us to repent. The Bible talks about a hard heart, and the older we get, the harder it gets. And humanly speaking, the harder to repent. Come to know God young in life, young people. We find examples in the Bible, David, Timothy, or others. I love to hear personal testimonies, and I love to hear when someone says, you know, I was 8 years old and I became a Christian. I didn't just simply invite Jesus in my life. I meant it, and I went through life following Jesus. You ever heard the testimony of Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth? She says she got converted, I think, at age 5. And she says, I remember it well when I repented and believed in Jesus. Now she's on the other side of 50. She's spent a whole lifetime believing in Jesus. Here's something else, young person, to remember. A young person has fewer sins to repent of. And if you go through life, you will have more sins to repent of. More sins that it's hard for you to give up because you like them, you enjoy them, and you don't want to give them up. Someone put it like this. It's easier to pull out of the ground just a little sapling you've planted in the spring. You can just pull it up with one hand. You ever try to pull up a mighty oak that's been there for 50 years and its roots go 10, 20 feet under the ground? It's easier for a young person to repent than for an old person. So a person, older one, said, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But you're not a dog. You're a human being. Elderly have more sins not only to repent of, the elderly have more sins to be punished for. So if you're young, you'll have to account to God for your sins. But you will have fewer sins to account to God for than if you die old and lost. So come to Christ young in life. And if you are converted young, you will have fewer sins to regret having done. Some of us that were not saved when we were young, we think back and say, oh, I don't want to give my testimony and tell about certain sins I did when I was a teenager, 16. I played with drugs and other things when I was 22. Oh, I'm ashamed of that. If you get converted before that, God will protect you from that. And you won't have the regret that many of us here have on misspent youth. But I know what you're thinking. I've been there. Well, a young person says, you know, you're right. I should get converted when I'm young. I should believe in Jesus, but I don't want to yet. And so the young person often thinks like this. I've got just the right deal. I know I should believe in Jesus. So what I'm going to do is live my whole life. And at the end, I'll turn to Jesus and I win both ways. I have a life of fun and do whatever I want to. And then when I'm old and gray and on my deathbed, then I'll turn to Jesus. And that's cool. That's again the wisdom of a fool. Why? Because you do not know how long you will live. You may not become an old person. You may not make it to middle age. There are children that die younger than you children. Steve Andrus was telling me in our little prayer time before the service about this family over in his area, Mennonite family, lost a 4-year-old child that drowned. A lot of you children are older than 4 years old. God has not promised one more day to anybody here. We don't know. Somebody here might die before tomorrow morning. So don't young people think, well, I'm going to do it when I'm old. You may not make it that old. My college roommate died in a head-on crash when he was only 20 years old. We didn't expect that to happen. You remember just about 6 weeks ago what happened in Manchester, England, at that concert, filled with all these young people. Then that terrorist sawed off a bomb and killed mostly young people. My heart was broken when I saw a picture of a little 8-year-old girl that died in that. Manchester, England. What about Manchester, Illinois, or Springfield, Illinois? Hopedale, Petersburg. Could happen to any one of us. Also, those that say, well, I'll do it when I'm old. Elderly often develop dementia, and it's almost impossible for them to even think straight about the gospel anymore. I face that when we do our services at the nursing home every week. We keep preaching the gospel so that the power of the word would somehow break through the dementia or the Alzheimer's they're facing. But some of them have a blank stare and they can't understand a single word. So you young people, you'd be fools to say, when I'm old, I'll believe. You may not have the mental capacity when you're old. You have it now. You're young enough. Your mind is still very sharp. Also, don't delay repenting of sin. Every day you sin, you have more sins to repent of, and you have less time to repent in. Do it while you're young. Come to Christ when you're young. Delayed repentance makes it harder and harder. And don't presume that you will turn to God when you're nearing death. And you say, that's right, the doctor said I don't have 6 months to live. Then I'll turn to him. You don't know that you will then. Charles Spurgeon made a profound observation. He talked about the two thieves that were crucified next to Jesus. And he says, one of them was saved just minutes before he died. And that's a promise to anybody. It's never too late. But the other one died lost. And he says, that's a warning to people. Don't put it off to the end. Which of those will be you? And I've met many older adults who regretted that they did not get saved when they were young. I have never met anybody that got saved and said, I regret having been got saved when I was young and God took away a whole life of fun. I've never heard a Christian say that. I've met a lot that say, I wish I'd been converted earlier in life. Someone else put it like this. Young person, give God the cream of your life, not the dregs. Give him the best part of your life so that you will have a longer time to serve God and to follow Christ. And let me also add this. It's worth it to get saved in life. Not only do you get to go to heaven when you die, but the more you serve him, the more you accumulate rewards. Person to get saved at, let's say, 88 doesn't have much time. Person to get saved at 8 has a whole lifetime to serve Christ. Just think of the rewards of someone that's got saved young in life and served God faithfully for many, many years. More rewards. And that greatly outweighs all the thrills of sin if you're not converted. Heard about a preacher that had preached in another church, some evangelistic meetings, and another preacher said, well, how'd it go? How many people were converted? And he said, well, 1.5. I said, what do you mean 1.5? Well, there was an old adult and a very young child. And so the other preacher said, well, I guess you mean the old person was the one and the little child was the half. He says, no, it's the other way around. The young person that got saved now has a whole life, not a half life, to serve God. That was a profound observation. Those that are converted in middle age or old age sometimes say, I've wasted my whole life. I heard a man say that. And he was converted, I think he was like 64. He said, I've wasted my whole life. Oh, that I would have come to believe in Christ when I was young. I'm trying to make up for lost time now. Give God the cream of your life, not the dregs. Now let me give some words here, not just to the young, but to those that are not so young anymore. Let's say you're in middle age, between 30 and 60. You're halfway between young and old. Let me ask you very directly, are you saved? I don't mean do you go to church. I don't mean if you've been baptized. I mean have you been saved? Have you believed in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins? Have you been born again? Make sure. And you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then how do you plan to spend the rest of your life for God? And if you don't become a Christian, how do you plan to die and meet God one day? You see, you still have time, everything else being equal. And now let me give another word for those that are elderly, let's say 65 and up. Make sure that you are truly saved. Make extra sure, because everything else being equal, you are closer to ending the race of life than when you were a youngster. Make sure, make extra sure, and don't just hold on to, well, you know, I invited Jesus in my heart, or I signed a little card when I was a child, I repeated the four spiritual laws. A good friend of mine is a retired preacher, and when his wife was dying, he went to her and said, "We've been married for over 40 years, we've served God, but as not only your husband, but as your pastor, are you really sure that you're ready to meet God? Are you ready? Because the doctor says it's going to be within a few days." And he did her that big favor by helping her know for sure. And that's what I would say to you that are older. That includes myself. Make sure. Make extra sure. Because the time will come when it'll be too late after you die. You see, Nicodemus was thinking, it's too late, I'm too old. But you read through the Gospel of John, you find out that old Nicodemus did get saved and born again. You see, it's never too early to get saved, and it's never too late. But God's time is not, well, you wish you did then or put it off later. God's time is now. The Bible says now is the time to come to him. Now is the day of salvation. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a single day will bring forth. Do it now. And if my words today have touched your heart, don't put it off one more day. Get right with God and believe in Jesus Christ and serve him the rest of your life, however long or short that will be. Let's wrap it up now. We've been thrown into this life in order to get ready for the next life. Occasionally you hear about someone that makes it to 100. We had someone in our church that made it to 100 and she died a few months later. But God doesn't promise that to anybody. But he does tell us one day we will go to our eternal home. Are you ready? We know that we will die, but none of us here knows when or how. So especially you young people, believe in Jesus Christ, and I mean really believe in him. While you're young, become a real Christian. Repent of your sins while you're young. And that's the wisest thing, is to believe as soon as possible. And don't put it off till you are old, and don't delay even one more day. Do it today while God still has the door open, pleading with you. Listen to the words of wise old Solomon. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your words of profound wisdom through Solomon. We pray for the children in our families and in our church, that you would work the miracle of salvation in their hearts while they are young. 15, 12, 6. Save them young in life, Father, for we love them and we know you love them too. We pray for others in various stages of life, especially those that are closer to meeting you. We pray that you would encourage the saints and save the sinners while there is time. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.